Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to ask me anything about what I mentioned just now, then just come and ask me afterwards. Ephesians chapter 2. I think it's very apt for the hymn we just sang as well, Ephesians 2. And we'll just read the first verse. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for all the dear people who have turned out to hear the preaching of your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to leave all worldly and earthly thoughts aside, Lord, and help us to be hearkening to what it is you want to speak to our hearts and to our souls this morning. We thank you that we can read about the death and resurrection and the glorious ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our salvation full and free in him. And we do pray, Lord, that each and every saint here gathered, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to consider what it means to be quickened this morning. And we pray, Lord, if there is one here who knows you not, if they haven't been born again, if they haven't been saved, that they would this day realize their lost estate and come to know you as their Saviour. Speak to all of our hearts, I pray, and move me aside, Lord, that the people can hear you speaking and not myself, and help us to glorify you in all that we do. We thank you that we can pray all these things in the name of our dear, sweet Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So verse 1 there again, it says, "And you hath he quickened." Quickened. What does that mean to you? What is that to you? That little set of words there, "you hath he quickened." What does that actually mean to you? Or how thankful and grateful are we this morning to him because of that verse? It is perhaps one of the most awesome and powerful verses in all of Scripture. "You hath he quickened." So it says, "and you." Who is the you there, first of all? Who is that you that verse 1 is talking about? Well, we see the answer in chapter 1. Turn back one page to chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, which are Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." Those saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, they are the you in chapter 2, verse 1, the saints, and read verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So Paul here is talking to the saints, and he's saying, who are the saints? They are us, we who have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, or literally the heavenlies in Christ. We who have believed, who are redeemed, we are the ones who are quickened in chapter 2. It is all for us. You see, I could have read it as, "and Geraint hath he quickened." Or, "blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed Geraint with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." What a wonderful thing that is. Put your own name there also, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. So what does this word "quickened" mean? What does it mean? And we have the answer in verse 2 there of chapter 1. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." The world wants peace, and we know everyone wants peace, and the world is looking for peace, peace in the Middle East and everything. And the world may attain some sort of peace, some temporary peace, but here, I and you, if you know the Lord, have grace and peace. Because that's the only time when peace will come, when you have grace as well, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you will have peace from God the Father and from him also. So grace and peace to those who have been quickened. No one else has been quickened. There is no other person or type of people, any religion or any people group in the world that has been quickened, apart from those who have believed in his name. Everyone outside of Christ is still dead in trespasses and sins. Anyone who hasn't had that moment in their life where they've been born again and God has graciously redeemed their soul, they've been regenerated, whatever bit of terminology you want to use for that, all are outside of Christ and they haven't been quickened. But we who have believed are quickened. So we should be thankful that we are quickened this morning. But before I talk about what this quickening is, and that's what I'm going to focus on, I just want to focus on the second part of verse 1 of chapter 2. Let's read that again. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What were we quickened from? Where we were quickened from being dead in trespasses and sins. What is it to be dead in sin? Well, the next verse tells us what it is to be dead in trespasses and sins. Notice, first of all, in verse 1, it says, who were. It's past tense. Everyone who is a believer is no longer dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, first of all, we see that we were disobedient. Wherein, in time past, ye walked, ye, talking about you, people who have been quickened, you Ephesians, you Christians, you believers, you were in time past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In time past, we were disobedient. We were disobedient to the will and way of the Lord. We walked according to the course of this world, worldliness. We walked in order to attain what we wanted to attain, to do what we wanted, to live our lives as we please. We only have to go several yards outside these doors and you surely come across somebody who's living their life in the way that they want to. It may not be outwardly bad, but they are walking according to the course of this world. And it doesn't lead to God. It doesn't lead to the Heavenly Father. So we were disobedient. And now verse 3. We were also defiled. Among whom also we all had, past tense, remember this is, our conversation in times past. Conversation there, I'm sure you'll know, is an old-fashioned word for lifestyle or citizenship or something like that. Among whom also we had all had our lifestyle or conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. All those lusts, we were defiled by all those things which we thought were wholesome, which we thought were good, which we thought were okay, which we thought were acceptable. But when you compare these things with the black and white word of God, we find that all these things were just the lusts of the flesh, which drew us further and further away from the Heavenly Father. So we were disobedient and we were defiled. And going on in verse 3, we see that we were deserving. Let's read verse 3 again. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were disobedient, defiled, and deserving of wrath. That's the conclusion of it all. Those who are dead and trespasses, in trespasses and sin are unfortunately, deserving of wrath, even as others, those who don't know the Lord. It doesn't end there, though. The next two words are perhaps one of the most poignant words in the whole of Scripture. But God. What a wonderful thing that is. But God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But God. What do we mean but God? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord sent his only son to be our sacrifice for sins for us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. But God, everything hinges on this. But God, I was undone in my sin. But God, I was unable to do anything about it. But God. God did it for me. I had no hope, but God, I had no inheritance. I had not only had no hope, but I wasn't to receive anything in the life to come. No inheritance, but God. I was dead in those sins, but God. And I was bound for a lost, Christless eternity forever, but God. What a wonderful thing this is. But God, who is rich in his mercy, that's how much mercy he has, rich. We cannot even fathom the end or the depth of the riches of his mercy. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, he quickened us. What an awesome thing that is. Quickened us. If we hear this morning and that doesn't do anything for us, then there is something definitely wrong in our walk with the Lord. It says there we were. So what happened? What happened is written in verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. This is what happened. By grace are you saved. His grace and mercy. He sought us and bought us. He found us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened. So let's now look at what this means. You hath he quickened. Verse 1. I've just listed several things here, what actually that means, we being quickened. Are we thankful for the fact that we are quickened this morning? Verse 1. I tell you what, look, let's move over to chapter 1, and look, read verse 4. We'll read the list from there. This is what it means to be quickened. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We are chosen. To be quickened means we are chosen. We are chosen in him. And not chosen as in some sort of fatalistic way, but we are chosen in him. This is God's thing. This is the Lord's manner of doing things. And we cannot even fathom it out. You know that we are moving away, and we've been looking for decent churches to go to, and I was looking at the website of a church nearby to where we're moving, and it talks about being an inclusive church. Inclusive church. Is that what it's talking about here? You hath he quickened. Well, I can tell you that it's not. I won't tell you what the church is or what it's all about, but basically inclusive means anything but what the Word of God goes. That's what it means. They go out of their way to love sin and to hate what the Word of God says. We are an inclusive church. We don't exclude anyone except those who preach the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You can guess what I'm talking about. You see, we do have an inclusive gospel in this church. For all have sinned, all, and come short of the glory of God. And it is appointed unto man, and that's every single man who has ever lived. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment, the Bible says. But the wonderful thing about this beautiful inclusivity is that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a gospel for everyone, every single person who's ever been born. That's the true inclusivity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are chosen in him. He chooses us on account of the fact that we believe in him. And when are we chosen in him? It says, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. A mystery which we cannot understand. How can we possibly understand that? That herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. 1 John 4:10 says. And if we are chosen by him, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so it's a wonderful thing to be chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what it is to be quickened. But also this morning, the second point is in verse 5. We are adopted. This is God's will for us to be adopted. Back in verse 4, it talks about us being chosen. But now we see that we are adopted, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's not something you have to worry about, all the terminology that we have here, the predestination and so forth, and trying to create some sort of theology around that. It's just what the Bible says. You're predestinated on account of the fact that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In verse 4, to be chosen is our relationship with God, but to be adopted is our position as adult sons in the family of God. That's the difference between being chosen and adopted. And the Holy Spirit now gives us knowledge, that realization of this position that we have now that we are adopted into the family of God for us. Galatians chapter 4 says this, verse 6. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Because we are sons, we have that position in the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning. And the Lord sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may know that for surely. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The third point is in verse 6. It says there, we are accepted. We are accepted to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Christ no matter how big our spiritual standing is, no matter how righteous we are. What I mean by that is, as believers, we all have our righteousness in Christ. But no matter how good a Christian we think we are, or how little a Christian we think we are, we may not be able to get up into the pulpit and preach the word, but we may just be able to hand out a tract or tell people why we love the Lord Jesus so. Or perhaps we think that we haven't done the Lord's will as much as we should be doing, or things like that. Whatever point you are in your Christian life, we are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. And as we said last week at the communion table, those who can come to the communion are those who feel unworthy to come, because they know it's all about what Christ has done for us and not how good we think we are in serving him. We are accepted in the beloved. He looks on us and sees Christ. We have boldness and access. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. It says there, "In whom, Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." And Hebrews 4 says, "Let us boldly come before the throne of grace," it says, "boldly, that we may obtain grace and mercy," it says, because we are accepted in the beloved. Now, my fourth point, back in chapter 1, verse 7, is that we are redeemed and forgiven. In whom? In Christ, this is talking about, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now that we are God's child, now that we are his child and we are accepted, our sins have been paid. But there's two aspects of this. It says there in verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, and it says the forgiveness of sins. Redemption through his blood and forgiveness of his sins. What is the differentiation between these two things, forgiveness and redemption? Everyone who is quickened has all these things, forgiveness and redemption. And first of all, the manwards aspect, to man, to me. We have forgiveness. From my point of view, my sins are forgiven. They are no more. They are forgiven from my point of view, the manward aspect. But the Godward aspect as well is redemption through his blood. It cost me nothing for my sins to be forgiven. Nothing. But redemption through his blood, that Godward aspect of it, it cost him everything. Absolutely everything. It cost him his all. 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold." Silver and gold I think if we've got a lot of silver and gold, that's gold there. And that, as far as we are concerned, is incorruptible. But next to the precious blood of Christ, that is corruptible. It's worth nothing. We weren't redeemed with worthless things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's how costly it was. Precious. It was precious to the Father that his Son should have his blood shed for us. You hath he quickened. You were redeemed through his blood. For as much as ye know, as I was saying, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What a cost it was to the Heavenly Father for us. You hath he quickened. That's what it is to be quickened. But let's go on in verse 8 and 9. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. I suppose a very cursory reading of that, we think, okay, yeah, okay, we know his will. But think about how tremendous that is, that we know his will. No one else knows his will. Those who are outside of Christ don't know his will. They don't know the Lord or the truth concerning him. They do not know him. Those people in that church I was talking about, the problem is they do not know the Lord's will. They do not know the Lord and what he has to say to them, because they don't read his word. We were strangers to his covenants and to his word, but he has made us nigh to himself. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Before we didn't understand God, but now he has given us understanding in as much as we can read his word and know his will for our lives. We know more than the wisest people on earth. Did you know that? We know more than the wisest people because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Are we clever sticks? Of course we're not. But we have all the truth that we need in his precious word. You hath he quickened. What else does it mean to be quickened? Well, let's look at verse 11. In whom, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have obtained an inheritance. The world promises much. It does. It promises wonderful things. But it doesn't carry out its promises. It doesn't give as it says it does. Or, you know, entertainment on television. It comes a point when each and every person will be sick of what's on it. Whatever the world tries to afford, it's nothing compared to what inheritance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And verse 12 and 8 are interesting. Let's read verse 12 and 18 again. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. First and foremost, it's his inheritance. We are his inheritance, his heavenly inheritance, the saints. There's coming a time, in that time to come, when we will be the display of his glory in heaven. A magnificent statement is this: we have obtained an inheritance. We are to literally display his glory because we will be like him. And it says he is to be inheriting us as we have inherited him. The poorest of saints has everything if they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, in verse 13, this other thing which we have, we who have been quickened, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are sealed. We are completely sealed. In John chapter 10, verse 28, the Lord says there, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, he says. I give them eternal life. We are sealed, and we are never, ever to perish. Not even Geraint can pluck Geraint out of the Lord's hand. And I am my own worst enemy. What a wonderful thing this is, to know the Lord. And that's the gospel in the nutshell as well, in whom ye also trusted. After that, first of all, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, and then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Seven things there that we find, in which we who have been quickened have. These wonderful things. Things that we should be thankful for. So when we read again chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. What does it mean to be quickened, that word there? Well, all these wonderful things. It is all a gift. Verses 8 to 9 of chapter 2 says it's all a gift. And not only what he has given us, we who have been deemed, but the quickening itself is a gift for us. I have nothing to boast about, no works of my own whatsoever. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of whom are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I think that each and every one of us here who know the Lord and understand what it means to be quickened, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to take away my sin. Give me a sight, O Saviour. We've just been singing. What this wonderful salvation is. Us who have been quickened. I'm not going to glory in anything but the Lord and his cross and his salvation, which he has afforded me, a sinner saved by grace. And you hath he quickened. What is this to you? Let God have all the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the word of God which we hold in our hands. We thank you for the fact that we can have a copy of it and read it and find these verses, these little verses, Father, which speak volumes to our hearts. We thank you that because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him, we have been quickened. Grace and faith without any works whatsoever. I pray, Father, you would help us to ponder upon these things in a little while as we go our separate ways. And we pray these things, Lord, in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we'll finish with 665. God's abiding peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away, though I cannot tell you how, because he hath quickened us. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. Mine for all eternity. 665. Thank you.
close in prayer, please.